B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour on this Friday, Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Sean.
Where's the John Wallach highlight?
Well, we're running a little behind.
Okay.
Running a little behind.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I did it for years. I understand the clock. I get the whole thing. I just feel like you're kind of like, that was kind of his due, you know? Like he earned that.
Oh, he did. He sure did. But
I get it.
Are you saying somewhere really fancy? Tom was telling me that when he called for you a moment ago, they were very...
You don't make your own waffles in the morning, do you?
There's a bit of a roadblock there. They were demanding to know who was calling and what the matter was. And
I think that has more to do with him. I think his calls just get blocked whenever he tries to reach anybody.
All right, Sean, do you put a lot of stock into this particular game, given that this is the matchup going forward? I was talking to Dan Shaughnessy earlier, and I said, Dan thinks, you got to show something. You got to show that you can really... beat these guys. I said, they can beat these guys. They're better than the Pacers. For me, it's more about how does the team finish the season, right? Are you locked in? Are you trending in the right direction? I don't put a lot into the game itself.
Well, it's interesting because you've caught me at the sort of the two sides of my brain, which is, in real life, it is important. It is going to determine home court in the first round, almost definitely, mathematically. Do I think home court is going to be the be-all, end-all of that first-round series? I don't. But then there's the other side of my brain, which is it's my job to make this sound like it's the Super Bowl tonight, and it is an important game. And it is when you get to game 80, and two teams that are going to meet in the playoffs are in a dead heat, and they're so there is some. It's almost like game two of the 9-game playoff series, and in game two of a playoff series, if the visiting team wins, that sort of shifts the home court, right? So this is really what that is. And obviously the Celtics won't have Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris, and if this really was the playoffs, would they be playing? Maybe. So I do think it's important. I've felt all along it's more important than others do from a psychological standpoint that teams don't get to the finals that start the playoffs on the road. That doesn't happen in the NBA, and I think for the Celtics to go where they need to go, I think that they need a get-your-mojo-back series in the first round. And if they get by the skin of their teeth and they scrape through in the fourth quarter or the seventh game to get by Indiana, it'll be fun. It'll be a fun series to watch. It'll be great. It'll be nice to – but I think that will be a pretty clear indication that that's about as far as they'll be able to go.
You know, it seems like Hayward's really starting to feel good, not only mentally. And I know they've worked with him to get him back to old form, and he's come back from that awful injury, but – yeah, you know, when he's right, and then you got his wife chiming in on Instagram, and I don't know if you've heard that stuff, and kind of going after her afternoon show, saying, hey, when my baby gets his minutes and his time, like, good things happen, like the good old days. Like, how much can his play, and Beadle brought this up, like those three veterans, him, Kyrie, and Al Horford, carry this team in the playoffs?
Yeah, it was funny what happens when, I was thinking the other night, what happens when three max contract guys play like three max contract guys? You win important games on the road against teams that are desperate to win, as Miami was. I think we got to, don't forget Robin's role in getting him to bed early and getting him off the video games, too. So she's, you know, I think she's played a significant part in
you all. You joke. I don't discount that at all.
Yeah, right. I do.
I really don't.
You gotta have somebody, right. It is. I think it's funny, but there probably is something to it also. I think the most frustrating thing about the Gordon Hayward year is that we all wanted it to be this linear sort of comeback and build back up to where he was a little better in game two and a little better in game three. And of course, it is nothing remotely like that. When you go through an injury like he has and you're trying to feel your way back in, he had a great game on December 1st in Minnesota, and he had rough games in the month of March. It doesn't work that way. But it's almost this knock on wood thing that the dream scenario was that Gordon Hayward would start playing more and more like Gordon Hayward as the season got longer. And if you step back from the individual games and look at game one versus game 79, the graph hasn't been a nice, neat line, but it's pretty much been where you wanted it to end up.
Talking with Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics, as they get ready for a matchup with the Indiana Pacers. What do you make of the latest rumors on Kyrie Irving possibly leaving, possibly liking Brooklyn more so than he likes the Knicks? This is setting up to be a very interesting offseason for the Celtics, whenever that may begin. But these rumors are not going away.
Wait until the beat writers for all the teams that aren't in the playoffs have nothing else to write about when their team stops playing. And this, the longer the playoff run for the Celtics, the more of these stories are going to be. It's the way of it. The Golden State's going to be dealing with it, too, with Durant. Because there is almost, I don't want to say certainty, but there's a lot more confidence that Kevin Durant is leaving Golden State, certainly. So that's going to be a thing that goes with them throughout the entire playoffs. This is just sort of the way of it. I've said from the beginning, from day one to February 1st in New York to all this stuff, Kyrie's going to do what Kyrie's going to do, but he's not doing anything until July. So everybody's been waiting all year in a season that's been difficult in so many ways.
Yeah.
Everybody's just been waiting for game 83 to really get the thing started and see what they can do. And we're a week away.
Kind of get excited coming in. Like we were talking about, if they could just get through that first series, get themselves some rest, get in against Greek Freak and series number two, and have Brad devise some plans to help slow him down, see what the hell this team can do.
And get hot. And with a dynamic we could not have expected at the start of the year, which is that the pressure will be on Milwaukee.
Correct.
After the regular season they had. Now, all that said, I've been, Twitter-wise, just trying to keep people updated and doing tiebreakers and stuff like that. And an interesting thing is happening, which is that Philadelphia, where they didn't have Embiid on the trip, and they lost again last night, and they're starting to fade. So, in theory, while it would be very difficult, if the Celtics went out, the Sixers have to win a couple more games to get that three spot. And at least mathematically, if the Celtics win tonight, you can start thinking about what happens if Boston moves to three, because it's possible. And almost everybody, almost all of you within the sound of my voice, want to stay four because of the idea, we don't want anything to do with Toronto. You want to play Milwaukee in the second round. And to me, anyone that says you want to play Milwaukee hasn't seen Milwaukee this year. They've been the best team in the league by far. This is what's going to happen. If the Celtics beat Indiana, they're going to play Milwaukee. They're not going to go to three. But the notion that is it possible? Will the Celtics have a puncher's chance with Kyrie Irving and Al Horford? Absolutely they will. But let's not discount just how good. They're not healthy right now. They're kind of banged up, and they got to get Brogdon back. But I think people are just overlooking Milwaukee's year the way 5 years ago they overlooked Golden State's year. Nobody thought Golden State was going to win. That first year, they thought, this is sort of a fluke of a regular season. Yeah, Curry's pretty good and whatever. And then they dominated in the playoffs. So it is a tall task when you're talking about the best team. And if Giannis didn't wrap up MVP last night, I don't know how this thing works.
All right, Sean, appreciate the time. Talk to you
guys. You got it, guys. Stay on that clock.
All right.
See you, bud.
Talk to you next week.
See you guys.
See ya. We got to talk to Sean when we have more time about his one-time cameo in Sopranos, which Jim happened to come across this week. Maybe next week, a little more time with him.
Oh, when Jim gets sick, he finds these little things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want you to get sick.
It was a Ricky Davis thing. We'll have to. What we'll do is we'll get the audio of it formal. We'll do it next week. 617-779-0985. We got open lines. You want to jump on board. Everything from the week. Today's takeaways at 150. The fake promos on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction. Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Let's go to the phones. Barbara's in Beverly. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Barbara. Happy Friday.
Hi. Same to you. I hope you have a good weekend.
You too.
I wanted to make this quick. Just, I wanted to thank Jim for that wonderful video on Gronk. I know it was a while ago, but it was great. It was so well done, it brought me to tears, and it was just fabulous.
You
just,
and Zoe, weeping together.
Oh. Yep.
Oh, it was wonderful. Oh. The other thing I wanted to do was ask Jim a question.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Jim Louth.
After the comment I made the other day, I was trying to say something positive, and you got personal with me. You called me a jackass with an attitude, and you brought up drunk driving problems.
What?
Can I understand why you would say that when I've been nothing but respectful to you guys, and it was an opinion of mine?
What the hell's wrong
That's
with
all
you,
it
Jim?
Was.
No, that wasn't. We didn't say that.
I don't recall any of this.
Jim Hardy said it. It's on tape. He said I was a jackass and I had an attitude.
Who?
Jim Hardy.
Jim Murray?
Jim Hardy.
There is no Jim Hardy.
I mean, we have our Hardy.
And there's Hardy.
Your Hardy. I said it. He said that I had an attitude and that, like, I was a jackass for making the comment about the stop.
About
and
what
I wasn't
stuff?
Trying to compare it with civil rights of any other kind. It's just that I was taught when I was a kid, and I have had a different life. I've lived in, you know, real poor areas, and of course I've had a good part of my life, too, because I made it that way.
I just wanted to know why you would call me that.
Barbara, I didn't call you any names, and I didn't say anything like that. I disagree that this is a civil rights issue. And
that's
I said,
fine.
And
that would have been fine.
That's all I said. I said it.
I don't think you said jackass.
I said it does a disservice to people who have really suffered violations of their civil rights to say that somehow Robert Kraft
said jackass and attitude. Go back and look at the tape. You did.
Well, we'd really like you as a caller. I don't think any of us will call you a jackass.
We're gonna pull the tape.
Yeah,
though.
We're gonna pull the tape.
We'll pull that tape. We'll get to the bottom of this.
And the only thing I wanted to know was, like, was there something that, like, happened to you that would make you feel that way?
Oh, my God.
Because I feel
all right, well, now we've gone off the deep end a little bit, Barbara.
All right, we'll try and figure that out.
Oh, my God.
Jack? I love Fred.
Something happy about it. Yes.
I need Ken and Lowell. I need Ken and Lowell before
Hardy, who hurt
1:30
you?
To call.
Who hurt you, Hardy?
And then I need Derek and Foxborough to call. Tell me what he likes, his picks for the weekend. I need Derek's picks for the Final Four. And I need Blair Maine's picks.
We were all here when Barbara called.
Yeah, I don't recall this happening.
You didn't call her jackass.
Of course, I did.
Never would.
We like
never
when Barbara calls it.
We would never even call a female jackass.
I would call a female a jackass in a second, but I didn't say that about Barbara. I don't feel that way.
Nice
I disagree
like,
with
like
I disagree with her or anyone else who says that this is somehow a civil rights issue of Robert Kraft or anyone being pulled over when they are believed to have been engaged in some kind of criminal activity. And he provided his identification.
I think Michael Rubin's a jackass. Can I say that?
I called Michael Rubin, and I probably did too, all kinds of names, but not
he's
Barbara.
A jackass.
We have called him jackass, I think. Yeah, he's not doing him any favors.
No.
You know what, Barbara? Since she asked, anything ever happened to me? No. And that's kind of the point. So when Michael Rubin talks about how Robert Kraft may have some inkling, I forget exactly what he said. But and stop
me. What it's like.
Stop me if I'm mischaracterizing what Michael Rubin said. But he alluded to Robert Kraft somehow kind of knowing now what it's like to suffer ill treatment at the hands of law enforcement. Stop it with that. Stop it with that right now. What happened to him or what happens to anyone else who's put in that, who puts themselves in that position? You have no you have come no closer to understanding what has happened and what happens to people who do have their rights seriously violated. No, Michael, this is not a case of someone suffering a huge injustice at the hands of law enforcement. This is not it. That one I'll stand by.
Well, he does try to look at his glasses half full. Now,
oh my God,
instead of half empty.
That one I'll stand. Who legitimately believes that? Who's on Michael Rubin's side?
Yeah, this is a case of civil rights. This is a case. Now he knows what it's like to you know, be pulled over just because of the color of your skin or just because you're thought to be doing something wrong.
You were. And it's not all that wrong. It's no big deal. Don't try and turn it into some kind of
major fight against injustice in the world. He's trying to get out of something. I don't blame him. I had all kinds of lawyers and money at my disposal. I might be doing the exact same thing, especially if the punishment from the NFL is going to end up being the same. Sure, might as well get this wiped out. Get it taken off the books. Bunch of stuff here that you got questions about. Well, I'm not questioning their efforts here in it as a means to go out and violate his civil rights or anyone else's in this particular case. That's not what's going on here.
Josh in Haverhill with some Red Sox thoughts. Hi, Josh.
Hey, fellas. What's going on? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Let's talk a little Sox here. Yeah. You know, as far as this series goes with the Diamondbacks, we got to bring the brooms out against these boys. Like, they're without Paul Goldschmidt now. It's a Zach Greinke-less series, as far as my knowledge is. As far as I know, you know, we need to come out and hit some homers, take advantage of those gaps. It's a deep ballpark. You know, they got to perform. They got to show that this is an inferior opponent, not played out of the competition.
I think you should give a pregame speech or something. Get these boys fired up, Josh. Right now, Red Sox 2-6. If they win three straight, they're still sub .500 coming home.
Yeah, but at least you're almost there.
At least you're almost there.
Then you have a good week when you come back, and then you kind of square things up. Don't blow this one. Don't blow this series.
We found the audio, by the way, of the jackass comment.
So, okay. Did I call her a jackass?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll play the end of her call. Here's the end of her call.
Ready?
Oh, okay. All right. Because Adonis Kinsu is like, I don't know. How's he going to be in the locker room?
Stud.
Good? Oh, okay.
I'll take him. All right. I'll take him tomorrow.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, Barbie. Take care.
Nice.
You think Robert Kraft is doing this as a like a civil rights exercise?
I just think he's an altruistic individual who's very much
That's the immediate aftermath of the call. We'll flash forward like a minute later in the conversation.
Okay.
ID. Yeah. he got pulled over and said, "Yeah, of course you can have my ID. Here it is."
This may come as a shock. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, so I can't tell you if it is 100% within every peace officer's rights to ask for identification. But when I am pulled over and ask for my identification, I just give it to them. It's kind of the way. Maybe I'm the sucker. Maybe I'm the idiot.
You don't even realize on YouTube, your rights are being violated.
Oh, I see guys on YouTube all the time fighting tooth and nail at DUI checkpoints.
I won't give you my identification.
Are those videos the most obnoxious thing you've ever seen?
Or the border ones, too. There's like a lot of them out the borders, too. Obnoxious thing ever. They're trying to get drunk drivers off the road. And you're going to be such a jackass. Why? Because technically, in some little corner of the law, you might be right or justified in refusing to hand over your ID.
What's your name?
So 90 seconds later, you called the people on YouTube making YouTube videos at drunk driving checkpoints the jackasses. You weren't calling Barbara and Beverly
a jackass. Complete vindication.
Like, not even close.
Why would you ever call
completely her completely exonerated. Thank you.
That's the one part. I was off for 2 days. That's the 1 5-minute stretch that I heard of a radio. I'm glad that was the stretch she talked about.
There you go.
Because I was able to find it quick.
There you go.
Look at you, love.
Vindication.
Oh, she thought I said it.
Vindication for Hardy.
Hardy and I are one person.
Are you going to do one of those? Apologize. Apologize to me. You going to do one of those, Hardy? Demand an apology?
Jim Hardy.
Maybe something
Jim
happened.
Hardy?
Maybe something happened to you.
Jim Hardy. Hardy.
Something Big happened Jim. To you to make you act this way.
Right.
Maybe something's still happening to you.
They can't
Jim
call
Hardy.
Jim Hardy.
Jim Hardy.
All right. Like, I don't think it was Jim. Jim Murray? Nope. Jim Hardy.
Jim Hardy.
Jim Hardy got the headlines ready?
Too many Jims here.
There are too many Jims here. Big Jim Murray.
Our new intern from UMass who hasn't started yet is calling me Jimmy already on the phone.
Wait,
yesterday.
We got a UMass intern coming in?
Woo. When's he start?
Who?
Starts at the end of the semester, summer intern.
I thought there was, is he the one that wanted to do it for a month and then leave?
Yeah.
Or is that someone else?
Yeah, no, he's coming with us. He's going to stick with us the whole summer.
Oh, it's wow, good. That's big of him. Nice. He's a UMass Amherst kid?
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably same work ethic as Colin.
Yeah, we can fully talk about him, as Tom mentioned, because he doesn't listen to the show at all. Doesn't know anything about us.
So why do we want him?
Mess with him?
It's unbelievable how
it's an inside
little
connection.
Oh, that's why. It's the front of the line, he knows.
Jim Hardy.
Jim Hardy.
It's unbelievable how little the interns. I'm not saying all interns.
Josh is really good.
Josh is good. He's one of the best interns.
Our intern yesterday found the Ruben sound too, so he's good too.
Yeah, there's just too many interns now that show up here and never listen to the station.
You know what Josh did today? He came in when Charles
and you're
left.
Like, well, what do you want to? Why do you want to be here then?
This is what Josh screwed up though.
What?
Like Chauncey's mic was like this, so he came in to fix Chauncey's workspace, put this down, and he left Dan's chair there instead of pushing it out of the way.
Oh, get over it.
You're one for two. You know that.
Jim played a good joke 50%. On you though, so it's worth it.
Yeah, I know he was kidding. Kid never eats. Oh, these ribs are great. How good they are. Get back in that kitchen, Carlito.
You know, Jim Hardy was a football player at USC. He was MVP of the Rose Bowl in 1945. Went on to have a career with the Rams, Chicago Cardinals, and Detroit Lions. How about that?
What, are you going to steal his identity?
Maybe. No, I think he's still alive. 1923, he
game.
Is he still alive?
Jim Hardy.
Just please do the headlines. Jim Hardy, take care of that. And listen up. Listen up, Zoe.
Okay.
All right.
It should be good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Good yacht rock tune right here, so. Southern kisses from your room.
Too bad we missed it by one day, Yacht Rock Friday. Tomorrow's going to be beautiful.
Tomorrow's going to be 67 and sunny.
Way to bail on me this weekend, by the way.
It ain't over yet. Weekend ain't over.
The Yacht Rock
Weekend ain't over.
All week.
This kind of gets me back
in. Zoe is in. Zoe is going. I'm going. Now he's not going.
Where I park at?
Oh, there's a million places to park over there.
A lot of places.
Yeah.
Hey, we're driving in Tuesday morning, right, together? Let's hook that up.
You know, it's a different route this year, though, isn't it, fellas? No, you go the same way?
Yeah.
We're coming from the same way. We don't have to come here first and then go there.
Right.
We can just...
Right.
We just go. I know you're talking about the weekend. You know what else is this weekend, too? WrestleMania.
Sunday as well.
So I am going right now to Mike Riley, who I follow, and I am going to unfollow because I am not going to deal with the amount of pictures he is now tweeting because he is at WrestleCon.
So
well,
him
you
got to
keep the numbers, right? Because you started following Brady, right? Did you stop following somebody?
Yep. I don't know who I stopped following, but they were irrelevant. And I went down the list because I didn't really want to piss somebody close off because I know Sarge like lose his mind if I didn't follow him. And sometimes I'll unfollow somebody. But yeah, you stop following me.
Well, he's down there like a tourist with Andy Wong. They're going to Times Square.
How old is he now?
They keep tweeting pictures with random like people on the streets. Like they're meeting people.
Well, the one that really pissed me off was the first two as they arrive.
For $30, you can get a picture with Sarge.
Right, but like you arrive in New York City and you think you've been to New York City
many times.
Many times. Hardy's been there. Jim's even been like.
Actually, Hardy, have you made it there yet?
It is a great city.
Nope.
Everything it has to offer.
Hardy's never been.
No, I mean, I've been there, but not for like weekend in New York City.
Yeah,
no.
So of course these two,
no interest.
Poor Andy, and I say
it's great
poor
for
Andy.
A weekend. It really is. Yeah. It is. It's great, and then you're like, get me the hell out of here.
Poor Andy Wong, and everybody knows Andy Wong. I think is dealing with Sarge. Jimmy is already en route, so he didn't go down with them. Jimmy Stewart, who usually they're all together. The picture started last night, top of the Empire State Building, because, of course, when you go to New York City, what do? You go to two places. You go to Empire State Building, and you go Margaritaville in Times Square and sit there and drink at some random bar of all the places you could go to in New York City. Like, New York gives you everything. You could go and you could hide. Nobody ever know you're there. It's great. It's why Brady likes to go to New York City. Sarge, of course, goes to the two biggest tourist attractions.
Gonna go to the TGI Fridays.
Yep. And then you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna go down world site of the Freedom Tower and do the salute on front of the Freedom Tower.
For sure. He should not do that.
And now he's retweeting pictures of himself Bowl that he ended up showing up at. He was never there all Super Bowl week, and all of a sudden Sarge showed up Super Bowl Sunday.
I shoved him. I tell you that?
Where'd you see him?
At the post-game party.
I think I was so drunk I walked right past
him. I didn't know at first who it was. And someone...
We were together at the end, right?
No. Yeah, we were. You and I were together at the end. Came out of nowhere. He was drunk as could be. And like just grabbed me. And I'm like, who the... And I just shoved him. My instant reaction was to shove this person... Which I did, and then I felt bad for half a minute, and I kept walking.
Whose first reaction is to shove somebody?
Well, when someone grabs you?
That happened to me at the postgame. Yeah.
They're just trying to hug you. Yeah. They give you a hug.
Yeah, it was a violent hug.
Like a teddy bear. Everybody wants to hug Beetle.
Is it a bad thing?
Trying to come up and hug you all the time.
Is it a bad thing if I unfollow Sarge and it start following him Monday after WrestleMania?
Not at all.
Because the pictures are starting to roll in, and I don't want my feed blown up.
Mute.
What man? Takes so many selfies of himself and then retweets them out.
Mute.
How do you mute? What do you do?
I'll show you.
I want to get these calls in before we go to takeaways. Okay. Tom is in the car. What's up, Tom?
What's going on, boys? Happy Friday. I was ready to call in and give Hardy some vindication, but your first-class producer beat me to the punch. So day one right there. Go Spartans, by the way, Hardy.
Thank you.
With the Patriots, Greg Bedard, his whole point about the team, some people who talked to him. Who even said that to him? Were the members of the team? Were people close to Brady? Because I was a little confused on that whole thing.
He's not going to give you a source.
He said someone with the team.
He said somebody in the organization.
Someone with the team. So despite that, I mean, these last couple of years, at least I thought this year would be Brady's last year if they won the Super Bowl. Well, you know, they've proved me wrong, him especially, so many times, and I'm not shocked. But when you look at what he could possibly, again, seven Super Bowls, breaking Jordan as the all-time greatest athlete to win more championships, the playoff records that he owns, what he would mean to the NFL and the Patriots, what else would there be for him to accomplish if he would win a seventh Super Bowl? I agree with that. But despite that, I am still on board with this philosophy that you made your bed with this. If I'm talking to the Patriots, you made your bed with what's going to happen post-Tom Brady. You had the next guy ready to go. Your philosophy was, well, you go a year too soon instead of a year too late, and you decided to exonerate that because obviously what Brady's done is defied all expectations and all of, father time, all the odds, and Belichick had to force his hand or had his hand forced to trade Jimmy. And well, guess what? Now that Jimmy's gone, you now go ride into the sunset with Tom Brady. What happens afterwards happens. I'm ready to watch 3-13, 4-12 seasons.
What's the over and under this year? Four.
They also just won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
This is a good argument. This you had the next guy would work if your team was 8-8 or 7-9 had struggled and you'd get popped into the wild card round. You're in the damn show every year. I'll take more. I'll just keep taking more. Squeeze that rock.
Right. But what Tom is saying is that's what he wants too. He agrees with you. He's saying at the end, if you have to be bad for a couple of years because you did that, then so be it.
Line of bed you make.
Right? Yeah, but if that bed is a bed full of Super Bowl trophies, potentially.
Yeah.
Right?
You build a lot of things with that.
Yeah. 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 Last year was year one of Jimmy Garoppolo on his new contract. That, I guess, would have been year one of Garoppolo here, right?
That is going to be more so than Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield. The games that I'm going to watch the most are going to be those San Francisco ones, see how he responds. Once people get him on film and see how he does with, okay, you're the guy now.
Good call, Tom.
Yeah.
Paul's in Bridgewater. Hey, Paul.
Hey, thanks for letting me on, guys.
Hi.
I'm usually watching the Felger show, but I'm off this afternoon. And just about Kraft, real quick.
I'm confused. If you're off and Mike's not on yet.
He's home earlier in the day. Oh, he's able to watch us.
Yeah, home earlier.
I got you.
I like your show, so I wanted to call into your show instead.
Nice.
But with Kraft, so let's look at him. The police do an 8-month investigation. That's what I read. There were condoms inside that place stacked high. So they weren't doing a prostitution ring. They were doing human trafficking. So Kraft shows up. This is all at the end of the 8 months. They close the case, come out on TV, and say, Bob Kraft's guilty. If you go to Police Academy 101, if you want to lose a case, go to the newspaper as a policeman and say, I just arrested this guy and I think he's guilty. That's one reason the whole case could be thrown out. Do I think Bob Kraft did something stupid? Yeah, I think he did something really stupid. But I hope, I'm glad he's practicing his constitutional rights, and he's definitely listening to his lawyers. If his lawyer said, admit you did this and they're going to drop it, he would have done it. But his lawyer's not telling him that. And I'm glad he's fighting it, and I hope he gets off on it, because that cop coming out in Florida and saying he's 100% guilty and we got him on film, now everyone wants that film. And, you know, do I feel bad for him? No. Do I think he probably should have gone to Amsterdam if that's what he wants to do? Yes.
Amsterdam, go to Amsterdam, where the sex trade is legal. I don't remember anyone saying guilty, using that phrase, that word, guilty. I mean, anytime there are charges, they say what they are alleging that the person did.
They may have, but look, the police...
By the way, they didn't monitor the place for 8 months. They surveilled it for 5 days. This 8 month thing.
Yeah.
Thought we were...
Let's just say, I got a lawyer buddy keep saying, too, that the more and more they keep saying, hey, here's the deal, take the deal, take the deal, take the deal, they're worried about losing the case. That there's a reason they want them to take that deal. Just please hurry up and admit a little bit of guilt. We'll just wipe everything clear.
Bill is in Dedham. Hi, Bill. What's up?
Billy.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing? I'm just curious as to why the Patriots don't wear their throwback uniforms anymore.
A helmet.
Helmet has been an issue for them because you can only wear one helmet in a season now.
One color. Yep.
There are discussions and there are hints that by next season they may change the rule to two helmets.
Well, I have a question about the Jets' new uniform unveil. There's two different helmets.
No, there's not.
I thought it was all black.
Green helmet.
It is?
Yep.
Oh. So they have the same helmet across the
green
board.
Green helmet.
Okay. Gotham green helmet, stealth black pants and shirt.
But again, stealth black. This rule could change by next season. There are talks within the league that they could go to two helmets for 2020.
They should.
I will say this again. You can go back to your late 90s uniforms for a game with the same helmet you wear now. Just do it for one game. One game this year. Celebrate Ty Law with a throwback game.
Don't let this die.
To the late 90s uniforms.
Spoken to anybody at a league level about this?
High level league official.
Beatles been doing this for months. He's not going to let this die.
We should not let this one get away.
What's that?
As the fine law enforcement in Vermont did not let this man get away. Out of Walpole, Mass., the man who allegedly attacked his mother with a meat tenderizer has been apprehended. Ian Crowley was captured in Vermont. This came out just earlier this hour. Manhunt has been underway for the 31-year-old after the attack happened on Wednesday night. I'm sure you saw it on the crawl in the bottom of your screen here over the past couple of mornings, but the man has been caught. I'll retweet the picture of the man right now so you can see for yourself. I think we're all going to sleep safer tonight knowing that this man is off the streets. You can see his photograph right there. You didn't see it? You didn't see the meat tenderizer attack?
I missed this story. Is his mother okay?
Right over my head.
Is she okay?
I thought you're going to have like a bear mauling.
She was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. They had an argument over...
So you hit her with a meat tenderizer?
This is a surprise. They had an argument over alcohol consumption. And he beat her with a meat tenderizer.
Here's that one money, though. You ever see a one meat tenderizer? You could put the chicken or the meat in it, and it's got the teeth. You put it through the machine.
I haven't seen that one.
It's almost like a shredder.
You get your feed pulled up there? The photo of the man.
Is he a looker?
Just apprehended.
I see it.
Yeah. Here you go.
Is that a wig? Today's takeaways, fake promos next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Okay, fake promos are delivered to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. They now have made losing weight even easier with the clients. For the gourmet prepared meals delivered right to your door, fresh, high-quality prepared meals with free delivery.
Only six fake promos today, boys, but they're all gold. So let's begin with the real representation of the show. Roll it.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Third question, this whole Robert Kraft thing, I'm going to symbolize this whole thing for everybody. You ready?
Yeah.
If you had a 14-inch hammer, you'd want the video out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can we all agree that 14 is just clownish? I mean, that's not realistic.
No, you've told us before that, again.
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle.
How big's Ham?
John Ham.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to call Lenny Clark to get the real.
Oh, I don't know. You don't. He'll tell you everything. And it's
endowments.
It's too descriptive.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
When you approach the bear, Josh, what do you typically say to the bear when you approach it? You go, quah, quah, quah.
No, I just say bye. Kill it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alaskan, kill the bear.
Alaskan bear hunter.
Yep.
I love those hunters. Those ones that sit up on those perches, man. They put them salt licks right
there. Just say bye.
Here, little animal.
Kill it.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
The second question I have is, how come there's no female caddies unless it's somebody's sister?
There have been. Nick Faldo had a female caddy for a long time.
Nick Faldo sucks.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six majors.
Yep.
Masters.
He sucks.
British Opens.
Yeah. He sucks.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Here's the sound of perfect hot air balloon. And a not so perfect was.
Quack, 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 quack.
Talk to farmers. Thank you.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports
That is the
Hub.
Best farmer's ad they've ever had.
A little extra love for farmer's insurance there. Okay, finally. Two more.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Is it really a big deal to have a microwave in a place of business? No, we got four microwaves here. We actually have a fridge in our back office. A little mini fridge. I'm starting to think this case is in trouble.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's that? Milk and ranch dressing and water?
All came together for me with that little bit of information.
We got them. Sex trafficking, water. And
wow.
Ranch.
And finally.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Introducing Clever Boy.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I can't believe Lalf is out that day. He doesn't
clever
know
boy.
What Clever Boy is.
Clever Boy.
Hello, Clever Boy.
Hello, Clever Boy.
Hello, Clever Boy.
Told you, they're all cold.
Have a great weekend.
All right, peeps.
That's what I'd say. Enjoy the weather. Tell your mazzer coming up next.
Hey, MGM Springfield tomorrow night. Come on, hang out, watch some college basketball with me. We're gonna do it up tomorrow night.
How many poker machines can you run while the game is going on?
I'm working. How
for
dare
your parents,
you?
Huh?
I'll be working.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The Bat.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's a Friday. You know what that means, Maz?
Agenda-free.
Agenda-free Friday. I don't have the read in front of me, William, but it's brought... Oh, we've lost the sponsorship? Okay. There's a sponsorship available for Agenda Free Friday. How about that? Or no? Yes? Is that so? Strike everything that I've just said. I don't have the read in front of me. I don't know if the sponsorship is open. I just don't know. How's that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.